chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. It's just before he is going to be taken and executed. I am the real vine, and my Father is the gardener. He breaks off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and he prunes every branch that does bear fruit, so that it will be clean and bear more fruit. You have been made clean already by the teaching I have given you. Remain united to me, and I will remain united to you. A branch cannot bear fruit by itself. It can do so only if it remains in the vine. In the same way, you cannot bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. Whoever does not remain in me is thrown out like a branch and dries up. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire, where they're burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, then you will ask for anything you wish, and you shall have it. My Father's glory is shown by your bearing much fruit, and in this way you become my disciples. I love you, just as the Father loves me. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a person can have for his friends is to give his love for them, his life for them. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because servants do not know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures, and so the Father will give you whatever you ask of him in my name. This then is what I command you: love one another. Fantastic passage, and may God give us insight and discernment. Our theme for the year is becoming human, giving glory. Right? We are human beings, but we need to become more human. We've laid some foundations for that, and in so doing, give greater glory to God. We were created to enjoy God and to bring glory to him. And knowing that and really understanding that, believing that, makes a whole new difference. You've got some images there, which are of various things that are connected with growing the vine. So you're going to become experts if you're not already, you probably are. So here is a fruitful vine. Lots of grapes, not just lots of leaves. Here is a vine dresser. She's moving every day amongst the vines, picking out little dead bits and making room for the light to ripen the fruits and so on. So this is the vine dresser. Here is a vine, all right? What you need to know, your basic stuff, even you know this as city dwellers, and those of you that have come from the country know it very well. The roots, the stock, this bit here, between the lower branches and the ground, is what Jesus says when he says, I'm the vine. He doesn't mean the whole thing, he means I'm the stock. The branches represents those people who are linked into Jesus, either have grown out, straight out, like the Jews, or those that have been grafted in, like the Gentiles, the scions that have been cut and become a part of Jesus. Just one slide today. This is an allegory. I will explain in a minute what an allegory is. It's a bit like metaphor, as we've been talking about. The allegory of the vine, this picture, is used again and again in the Bible over thousands of years of history to tell the story of what? Well, the vine tells the story of God's relationship with his people, the community, the household of God. That is what it is used to illustrate. And allegories like the vine are found in the Bible, and they're extended metaphors. The picture goes on and on through there, particularly in Psalm 80, for instance. The picture is given of Israel, the people of God, growing like a vine and spreading through various territories and places, growing. And that, in a way, represented Israel's conquest of the promised land and peopling of it. The vine grew. Prophets use the allegory of the vine. Isaiah speaks about the vine that God tended lovingly, but that only produced sour grapes. And how appalled God was with that. Everything he had lavished upon it, everything he had tried, and yet the fruit was not sweet. It was ugly, harsh fruit. The lives of the people of Israel did not testify to the character of God. Others that used it, the same idea, are Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Hosea. So the picture, the metaphor, is used again and again, and it develops through the Bible to this time when Jesus stands up and says, I'm the true vine. Not particularly Israel, I am the true vine. You are the branches. So it's a literary device, as we've said, using an allegory, which is a metaphor, which tells us something about any character, place, events, anything like that. It tells us something that is deeper. It's a simple technique, but it takes us to something that is more profound. It might convey a complex idea. It's a simple thing. They would have seen thousands and thousands of vines as they walked through the countryside. But here is Jesus saying, I am the true vine, you are the branches. And he takes this allegory and he talks to them about fruitfulness or lack of fruitfulness. It doesn't matter how beautiful your vine is in the garden, and we've got one at one point that was bearing fruit, had to be cut back dramatically to put a new fence in, and it still hasn't yet borne fruit again. It bears no fruit at all, even though it has been pruned. All that is left there is approximately the vine, the stock. So writers, speakers use these devices like allegories and metaphors to symbolically say something, to convey something which may be simple, but it is also profound. Here is Jesus using this picture of the vine, and it comes up again and again and again. I'd just like you to stop for a minute. Just close your eyes or visually blank down, whatever you do, focus in. Think, don't discuss with your neighbour, but think, what do I know about the vine and Jesus being the vine? Just stop for 30 seconds and have a think. I can guarantee you haven't remembered everything that can be said about the vine. That there's going to be things that are underlined today or that you're reminded of and you think, oh, I knew that, but I've forgotten. This is meant to be an allegory that we can use to bring things into our daily lives. It's not just something that we would write in a GCSE paper, all right? This is for our everyday living. We're exploring what it means to become truly, fully human and to bring glory to God. So this is very important because this passage is all about that, actually, becoming more human and bringing glory to God by the fruit that comes into our lives, John records. We're linking together being human and bringing glory to God. That's a part of our theology, if you like. As human beings, we believe it's an essential truth, so that for many people, the experience of living in life is very, very painful because they in no way know what it means to remain in God. They may believe historically that God exists. They may culturally have come from a background that talks about God. But their experience of remaining in Jesus is not strong and real enough to provide what they need. And that's often just us in the church, let alone those outside. That we often do not know that daily experience of remaining in Jesus, it's so easy to break away almost in the way we live our lives and not having intimacy with Jesus. But hopefully for you, this is something you could say what it means. If I asked you to testify now, you could say, well, being in Jesus means this to me. And we started that, didn't we, at the beginning? The things we recognize, the goodness of God. I've already spoken in recent weeks about the metaphor of God the potter and the human clay and various other metaphors and parables. But here today we're focusing on this allegorical metaphor of the vine in John 15. And Jesus is speaking about these things, it seems to me. He's speaking about relationship. He's speaking about community. He's speaking about thriving and well-being as humans, relationship with God. These are the things Jesus is speaking about. We are in danger of over-spiritualizing what Jesus is saying. We are in danger of using religious words when Jesus is actually talking to his disciples and saying, is this your experience? Got a fruitful life? Are you experiencing well-being? Are you experiencing community? Because those are the blessings that we talk. See, I've already done it. I've already gone into religious language. Those are the things we want to share with other people, that these things can be experienced. Even if we start life, even if we are prone, for instance, to be low mood, is my sense of well-being growing? As I mature in Jesus, do I learn to cope with that? Some people are never cured of their depression. What they learn to do is to live day by day in the strength of God in that situation. God is a God who heals. God does not always cure. It is up to God, the cures and the miraculous cures that he brings. But God always works for our greater well-being and wholeness. We focus in on that as Jesus talks about these things. Jesus says, I'm the true vine. I'm the authentic vine. I'm the real vine. I'm not just to do with religious experience or the cultural expression of religion. I am the true vine. What is coming out of that true vine? If you follow me, what are you seeing? Because in the vine of Israel, it was most often unfruitful. There was little fruit that people could attribute to God. There were plenty of works of men and women. He describes those who are linked to him, and there they are, there you are. You're the branches. You are connected to Jesus. You are growing out of the vine. And God the Father, says Jesus, is the vine dresser. God's hand is at work in your life, in all the daily experiences of your life. God's hand is at work. You may not recognize it, but when you awake in the morning, sense the light touch of God's hand upon your life. It's wonderful. I know God can be a bit of a stirrer, but God is a consoler, a helper. Every day I will send the Spirit to help. God's hand is upon my life. What is God doing? Well, pruning, stripping out the vine so that the light can penetrate into it, working through life's experiences of suffering and sickness, redundancy, encouragements with our family, discouragements. God is at work, and all things work together good for those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. They may not be our choice, and most often they won't be, but we are told that those experiences are not to be wasted, even our sufferings and our pain, wasted. They are the hand of God. Please do not attribute what God is doing to the devil. Be very, very careful. God will deal with the devil. We believe in evil. We know God's kingdom is coming, and we have given our lives to him. The hand of God is at work. You are the branches. You're connected to me, says Jesus. And Father God is the vine dresser. He cares daily. He nurtures. He prunes. He has a purpose in mind. And the purpose is more fruit for the glory of God. More fruit for the glory of God. So there is Jesus, the stock. He goes into the root. He's the stump that has sprouted, according to Isaiah. He is thriving, vitality. He is life. He is purpose. He goes deep. We need to go deep through Jesus to draw on the resources of God. Going deeper, drinking more deeply. Now, in the agricultural community of Jesus' day, or maybe one that you've come from, everybody would have understood what Jesus meant as he talked about the vine. But we have to work a little bit harder. We're Uberites, or urbanites, really, aren't we? And we have to work a bit harder to grasp the meaning. You and I understand national flowers. So we know in England the national flower is the rose. We know in Nigeria that it's the yellow trumpet plant, usually. Did you know that? Well, there you go. I don't even know their national flower. Either that or Google got it wrong, which is highly likely, or as with Nigeria, you'll have several flags and several national flowers. Can't quite decide which one. Oh, we just impose it on our lesser nations in England. But really, so what would you say your national flower was? There's no time for flowers in Nigeria. It's probably... worked out, counted in other things. Okay, so we may know what our national flower, but the people of Israel knew it was the vine, right? They knew that the vine represented their life with God. And basically, God has told them, so often you have disappointed. Either there's no fruit or it's sour fruit. And you grow grapes, why? To make what? Wine. And wine gladdens the heart. If you have too much of it, it gives you a headache and you can get addicted to it. But in right quantities, it can gladden the heart. It is a symbol of joy. It is a symbol of the kingdom of God. Despite all God's loving care, it's sour grapes. You would spit it out. It's vinegar. It is not sweet. But yet in Jesus, the promised Messiah, the true vine has sprouted. And he declares to his disciples on the final night before his betrayal that they are to become fruitful branches. I hear him speaking to that to us today. What is the fruitfulness in your life and how can you grow in fruitfulness? Now, already some of you will be piling condemnation and guilt onto your life because that's your nature. You will think, oh, I don't do enough. That's what it is, you know. Hang on. Hang on. This is not about that. What does this fruit really mean? Well, he warns them. He says, unless you are connected to me, unless you are in living community with me and your brothers and sisters, then there will be no fruit to speak of. There will be some fruit, but not as much as there could be. Also, that if they lose connection with him, says Jesus, your spiritual life, your spiritual sap, you will wither and you will die on the vine. And the usefulness for that, and he's not talking about the fires of hell, he's simply saying your usefulness is you would be used as kindling, you would be chucked in the fire. That's what you would use that for. The lessons of the vine are so simple, but they're absolutely essential. This is not a threat, this is you're missing out if you don't remain connected. It's descriptive. You need to understand in your minds and hearts what it is to belong to Jesus. Again, that's what Wano took us to in our prayers. Our youngsters, they may not just know what they know because they've been told, but that they may come to experience and believe that for themselves, that they can remain in Jesus and have lives of well-being and community. And that begins from there very much for them. Jesus says, my teachings have made you clean. And what he's saying is, my teachings have prepared you for this. When you look after plants in your garden, you have to do a clean cut. All of you gardeners will know that. You need to do a clean cut, preferably at an angle so that the water runs off and it doesn't rot. So I can no longer get up a ladder and cut big branches, so I send up my helper, created for that, and Jeff will cut them off, drag them down and shove it at me, and I'll try and drag it along the path. But often he said, I've just got to clean this one up because the weight of it, and you clean it up, and that's what Jesus is saying. My teachings will get rid of all the wrong ideas you have, and you all and I have wrong ideas because of the way we've grown up and what we've been taught and cultural impressions. And Jesus says, my teaching will clear that away. So all the things you've been told which are traditional, if they don't match in with what Jesus is doing, will need to be cleaned up with the teaching of Jesus. So for those of us who come from cultures where tradition is very strong, they all need to go through the filter of Jesus, because he's the Lord. It's his kingdom. And as we mature and grow up, we, as much as we've appreciated our parents, and I was one who greatly did, we learn that the teaching of Jesus is what really, really counts. My teachings have made you clean, stripped back the wrong ideas, the confusions of generations, and it is coming across clearly. And Jesus is recorded that actually the teaching he brings will equip them for the time, he goes on to this, where my word will be disputed and you may even be persecuted. You need to know what my teachings are so that you're ready for that, and you will have the Holy Spirit. We need to remain in the person of Jesus. That is crucial. Those who remain, however small they are within the churches, and we all pray that the churches will find new expression for that truth of Jesus. We need to remain in Jesus. If we are just a cultural church, we will not survive with any sort of authority. We would just become safe havens. Churches are not meant to be, they're meant to be places of healing and safety, but they're also places where people are then pushed back into the world. So, says Jesus, here in relationship with me and with others, you will experience well-being and you will bear fruit. And this is humanity's blessing given in Genesis. Two things. You'll know the first one, which is be fruitful and multiply. And the next one is, they're bound together. We've just remembered the first bit because we're progenitors and want everybody to have children. Take care of the earth. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply and take care of the earth which I have given you. God is looking for fruitfulness and for us to do that in a way that doesn't exploit the planet. So, yeah, God is not happy with millions and millions of plastic bottles dumped in the ocean. God is really concerned about that. Be fruitful and multiply and take care of the earth. Be fully human. Now, commentators have disputed, and I haven't yet answered, whether the fruit spoken of here refers to fruitful characteristics and experiences. So some people say it's all to do with Galatians chapter 5. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, temperance, self-control, and so on. Yep, depending on your translation. You know, they say it's all to do with that. And they've spoken specifically, though, here, the two things that are spoken specifically about, I think, very loudly underlined, are love and joy. Others said, no, this is to do with fruitful lips, because here, fruitful lips is spoken of in terms of effective prayer. You will ask whatever you want in my name and you will receive it. So it's the fruit, fruitful prayer. Or perhaps it's in terms of offspring, other people coming to personal faith in Jesus Christ. And this is where people begin to put their heads down, because they think, well, how many people have I led to Jesus? You know, or maybe that's just for evangelists in the church. What is this fruit spoken of? Well, I have to tell you this, I don't often say this. My opinion is that in this allegory, fruitfulness is not narrowly defined as one of those things. It's just describing something wonderful. It describes well-being, and it describes the blessings of life, which include multiplication. All these things are in the accounts of the Bible about being fruitful for human beings. We need to be communities of love. We will experience that. We will experience joy in those relationships and from the fruit of the vine. We will have fruitful lips, singing praises and praying to God. There will be the birth of offspring, not just physical offspring, but spiritual offspring. Others will be added to the community. These are all expressions, kingdom of God on earth. These are all fruitfulness. So I believe it is all those things. Love and joy, fruitful praises, fruitful prayer, offspring in terms of progeny, particularly spiritual progeny. This is the king's will being done, and this is what this is all about. You remain by obeying and following what I'm saying. These are fruitful lives. We should expect to see, even if we start at a very low ebb, don't compare ourselves with others. Love and joy, community and friendship, prayerfulness, and also the joy of going and sharing with others the good news of Jesus. All of this is fruit. If Jesus had wanted to be more specific, he could have spelt it out. This is a fruitful life. This is a kingdom life. And yet, very clearly, and this was our prayer verse in 2017. I think you won the prize, Becky. I won't ask you to recount it. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go and bear fruit, the kind of fruit that remains. And go is an important word. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Jesus has chosen this way for us as human beings to be a part of the living, growing, fruit-bearing thing he is doing. The people he is making, that is what Jesus has made possible, the people of God. And he says also, I chose you to go and bear fruit. So this expands the metaphor. You're not just part of a vine rooted in one place, say in the land of Palestine, Israel. We are rooted in history. We are rooted in Jesus, but we are not rooted in place, although God very much wants us to know where we should be. We need to pray in Jesus' name through this practical relationship we have. We need to be laying down our lives for one another. This is fruit, that we love one another. This doesn't relate to spending all of our time positively stroking one another's egos and telling us how wonderful we are. It also involves not just comforting one another, but going to others. There is a growing fruitfulness in those who remain in Jesus by being in the vine, by doing, and by telling. This brings glory to God. What an amazing thought that the fruit in our lives, small as it is, brings glory to God. And it's something that we are part of together. I think it's fantastic that we can produce something that brings glory to God. Now, the happiness course, just to mention this lastly, run by Livability, that we've been trained in and that we're sharing with, is an offering we're bringing in a way. In a few weeks, exploring with all sorts of people well-being and community. It is not a specifically chance for us as Christians to hit people over the head with the fact that they need to repent and come back to God. It's a sharing of people's lives because we're concerned, and God is concerned more than that, about people's well-being. They should experience love and joy and community. They should experience Jesus. They should experience spiritual life. This is opening up people, not pouncing on them so they close down, but giving people a chance to open up and talk about these things. Our society is crying out for well-being and community. Listening to people, this is why we're doing it. Jesus is distinct from us. He is God in flesh. He is the vine, we are branches. But he invites us, come into community with me and the Father God. That is a wonderful thought. God is one, God is community. Jesus says, I will be in you, you will be in me as I'm in the Father. This is a wonderful picture. of organic union. It's absolutely amazing, and of experiencing joy. He commands us, love one another as I have loved you. And that can only be worked out as we remain in Jesus. We cannot do that. I cannot do that myself. We cannot do it. It's worked out between us. In verse 15, he says, be friends of God. He offers us friendship. I'm not calling you as slaves, I'm offering you friendship. And Jesus says, I will share with you what I've heard the Father say. What a wonderful sign of friendship. The greatest sign of friendship we know was Jesus laying down his life for us as we sang. But we're called to lay down our lives in service to one another with God's help. Jesus, I believe, here is talking about us living happier and more fulfilled lives. And I use the term happier in terms that the Bible uses it. Even if the conditions and the climate are severe, even if people are in difficult situations, we're praying for Katerina, her family situation. We pray for that. We are praying for our other friends. Jesus is talking here, not just about happiness and joy and love, but of sacrifice and loss, because that's what pruning often is. It's to do with loss. It's to do with being cut to the quick so we have nothing of ourselves remaining. Pruning for greater fruitfulness. So I believe that human fruitfulness is what we are created for, to know joy and love in relationship to God and to other human beings. So the question is, what fruitfulness are you and I experiencing? How are you thinking about your life at this time? It may be a difficult time for some of you, but from it can come fruitfulness, a sense of well-being within the love of God. Finish by saying this. Jesus said, by their fruit you will know them. That's in the Beatitudes. He was talking about prophets who promised things, and he said, by their fruit you will know them. A healthy tree will bear good fruit. Well, we belong to the vine. You can't come a better stock than Jesus. And if we're connected into Jesus, then the things that will move through us, the things that Jesus is saying and asking of us, will produce healthy lives. We may struggle because we live in a broken world, but we can know a greater sense of well-being. Now, those of you that work as professionals with people who experience great difficulties, and some of you do, will know it is the worst thing in the world just to slap on somebody. Oh, you feel depressed, or you feel mental distress. There is a simple answer. This is not a simple answer. This cost Jesus everything. It is not a simple answer. Many of you will be working professionally to seek to help people, to encourage them. And we need to be praying for you. In your departments, tokes, wipe that. Someone asked us to pray for their place at work. Our role, that we will enable people to a greater sense of well-being in the workplace. These are important issues. Our children, the struggles that they have, helping them to a greater sense of well-being, which is where we began. So we need... This is a simple picture, but it has profound and deep ramifications for us to think about. I don't want to suggest that it is superficial. This is about a deep, deep need. In this case, it was for a whole nation, not just individuals. And I believe it's for all our nations as well. Let's just be still, shall we?